Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. Introducing today's message.
You're not too big for God. So I want to encourage you today, this is a moment for us to reach out and say, God, I'm going to trust you for whatever I need. I'm going to trust you for whatever issue is plaguing me or whatever obstacle is in my path. I'm going to trust you, God. And if you'll do that, I promise you, that pleases God. And he comes and he manifests himself in such a great way. And there's just a beautiful spirit here. I just want you to close your eyes for just a moment. The Lord is here. I don't want to rush on it. We've had good singing, good praise and worship, but it's not just so we can have good singing. It's so we can encounter his presence. And I want you to do this just with your eyes closed. No one's going to be looking at you. If this may be new for you, that's okay. Just lift your hands gently to God. It's a way of saying, God, I surrender. And God, I need you to intervene in my life in a major way. Just do that. Just do it. It doesn't really matter. Just do it. And just say, God, I want your touch. Father, I'm praying for all these precious people. You love them so much. They're all going through issues and things that are unique to them. And Lord, you know every heart. You know every circumstance. So right now, as these people have their hands raised to you, I pray that you would touch their life. Lord, I pray you would comfort them. I pray you would encourage them to know that they're not on this journey alone. They have you with them. So Father, I pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus that whatever they're going through, Lord, that you would manifest yourself in a powerful way and confirm the very thing they're looking for. Okay, welcome everybody, and we're glad you're here this morning. You're in for a tremendous treat. For those who perhaps have been around for a while, we have many people who have moved here from New Zealand. You know Pastor Nelly Atiga from way back. But those who don't know Pastor Nelly, let me give me a moment to introduce him. Nelly Atiga, I met in the year 2000 at the University of Auckland. He was actually a campus leader at Auckland University there in New Zealand. And we were reminiscing yesterday. I think we had our booth, our campus booth, next to their booth, and we were between the marijuana club and the Muslims. You know, so we were kind of sandwiched between those. And that's when we started meeting Nelly, and then we connected, and he connected with our group, and we started doing this wonderful thing there in the chapel on campus. And from that, Nelly joined up with Every Nation. At that time, it was called Morning Star. And as a young man on the campus and as a campus minister, just blossomed and matured. Later, he was an associate pastor standing with us there in Auckland, then moved to Singapore. I married a beautiful Filipino girl. Amen. How many? All right. So, you'll like Nelly. I knew you would. But she's a great girl, Tina, and she's very, very talented musically, very much like Nelly. And so they got married about 7 years ago, and he's been one of the associate pastors there, and he actually is the lead pastor of one of our new church plants right there in Singapore, and it's a great work that he's doing. So he's traveling New Zealand and Australia, and we were fortunate enough to nab him here and get him to come and preach for us this Sunday morning. And so you're in for a tremendous treat. So I want you to get your Bibles out, get your iPads or iPhones out, because he's really got a great word for you. So I want you to put your hands together and give a great Brisbane welcome to Pastor Nelly Atiga.
It's good to be here in Maroon territory. I don't, unfortunately, because it's kind of an Every Nation thing. If you get around the Every Nation world and you have a guest speaker, it's kind of an Every Nation thing to have a photo of your family. Pastor Ken knows what I'm talking about. I unfortunately don't have a photo of my family here. What sort of terrible husband am I? But if you go on my Facebook, you can see that's all I take photos of. You know, it's just my family because they're much better looking than myself. But I apologize for that. My Mac crashed, so no PC jokes. But my Mac crashed on the way here, and all my photos are on it. So I apologize for that. But yeah, like Pastor Ken said, I am married to a beautiful Filipina by the name of Tina, and she's a great musician. She's very talented in many ways, and God bless the Philippines. Yeah. Diba? Grabe. So I spend a lot of time in the Philippines too, obviously either with my family, my in-laws, and working with our Victory churches as well there with regards to worship. And so my primary roles in our church are I oversee the worship ministry for our three locations that we have in Singapore. And God's growing our church there quite quickly, actually. When I arrived there was about 250 people there. And we're now at one of our main locations, 1,500 alone. My location, we're just under 200. And then we just started a new location out in the western suburbs of Singapore. Singapore's a tiny island with 5.2 million people on it. So pray for me because I keep bumping into people, as you can see. So it's good to be in a place where I can actually go to Kmart and find my size in anything. You know, I'm like, is this a sock? I mean, my daughter can't even fit these socks. So I have three children. My eldest, they're all named after biblical place names. My eldest is a girl, Nazareth, who's in primary school now. And then Zion is my son, who's about to turn 4 in 2 weeks. And then my youngest is Jordan, who's a girl, and happens to hold the Singapore record for the heaviest baby ever born in Singapore. I know what you're thinking. Where did the size come from, Nelly? You're obviously very svelte and built like a supermodel. I know, right? And so, yeah, and like I said, my wife is a Filipina, giving birth to a very Samoan baby. So pray for me. I'm still indebted to her. But yeah, I'm really blessed to be in Singapore. I'm really blessed to be a part of this global movement called Every Nation. And whether you realize it or not, we're in 72 nations currently, over 500 churches around the world, which is really exciting. And you know, I'm really excited to be here and want to honor Pastor Ken, and obviously Renee's not here, for just being so vital in my walk with God, let alone the ministry that God's grown in me and has really played the role of a spiritual father alongside my dad, who's passed away and was a pastor. So I really thank you, Pastor Ken, for all that you've selflessly poured into me. And actually, what I'm about to share really comes from the embodiment of what Pastor Ken and Renee represent. And you'll hear the word selfless appear a lot in what I'm about to share today, because I'm going to share again. I oversee the worship in the three locations. I pastor one of the locations, and then a lot of what I do is regional with regards to worship, especially training up worship teams and spending a lot of time, whether it's doing seminars or preaching on worship in churches. And so that's actually where I wanted to go today, is to actually look at the biblical model as to what worship is. Probably to start, a good place to start is what worship is not. Worship is not. How many of you, if you've been around church for more than 3 weeks, you'll often hear worship associated with music, okay? And especially the slow songs. Like the fast stuff is called praise, and the Christian slow jams are called worship. I mean, my brother Norman just walked in here. He knows a lot about slow jams, and that's where I'm going to get you, bro. And you know, so before Christ, it used to be baby, but now it's Jesus. You know, so it's kind of like things have flipped now that we're Christians, because the slower songs are worship and the faster songs are praise. That's not necessarily true, you know, for a musician. For the musicians in here, it doesn't mean that praise songs are more than 100 beats per minute and everything below that is worship, or what we call transitional songs. This is the dilemma we face, because then we look at just the segment of what we do in the service, the part that's worship is this, and we disconnect things like preaching, the preaching of the Word of God, and even the giving, you know. So it's so funny that, you know, we'll be in an environment like this and we'll sing a song talking about the Lordship of God. He is Lord. He is Lord. The offering comes around. He was Lord. Can't afford. You know, it's just, It's just terrible that we associate worship with just the segment of our service that's associated with music. Now, let's go to scripture before I just turn this into a comedy show. Romans chapter 11, verse 36, and then to 12, verse 2. Do we have it at all? No. We don't? Okay. That's fine. If you've got your Bible, turn with me to Romans. If you've got a digital device, that's fine, as long as you're not playing Flappy Bird or whatever it is. You know, like, isn't that game so aggravating? It's just almost lost my Christianity playing that game. Almost threw my phone against the wall. Romans chapter 11, verse 36. Obviously, that's the last verse of Romans chapter 11. And it says this: "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory." Everybody say glory.
Glory.
"To him be glory forever. Amen." Then we go to verse chapter 12. It says, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers," let's say sisters as well, "by the mercies of God." Well, the NIV says, "in view of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world." Other versions might say patterns. How many of you have patterns? Okay. "But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Lord, that's what we want to know. We want to know what your will is for us. Lord, as we delve into just defining worship in accordance with Scripture, I pray you'd meet us here today. Lord, I pray for the unraveling of purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so it says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things." So I come from Singapore, which is the land of mathematics. We're pretty onto it with maths in Singapore. So if from him and to him and through him are all things, how much does that leave for us? None. Or in Tagalog, wala. You know, nothing. Nothing for us. So if he has everything, you have, like Whitney Houston, "I have nothing, nothing, nothing." Right? You have absolutely nothing. It's interesting that the Great Commission starts with, "All authority has been given to me," Jesus speaking. If he has all authority, this is Singapore maths in operation right now. If he has all authority, how much authority do we have? None. But that's why the word "therefore" is next. And we have a "therefore" here. "Therefore, go and make disciples." Because the whole reasoning behind making disciples is you need to lean on the one who has the authority. Because you have no authority to make disciples without the one who has the authority. And that's why it's this beautiful sandwich, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I'm pretty hungry. "Therefore, go and make disciples." So it says, all authority belongs to Jesus. "Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the ends of the earth." We sometimes forget the first part and the last part of the Great Commission, which is that he has all authority and he is with us always. There's no power in making disciples without the presence of Jesus. Okay? And so we carry that over to this place where he has all things and we have nothing. This is what we call glory, where all things are attributed to God. And then the next verse begins by saying, "Therefore," I'm quoting from the NIV now, "therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable before God, for this is your spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." One of the most common questions you'll get asked as a Christian, whether you're on campus or in your career, especially as pastors, the question we often get asked is, "I want to know, what is the will of God for my life?" Some of you might ask, "Who is the will of God for my life?" "My name is Will. Will of God." No. And the Bible does say it is actually possible to know the will of God right there. The way you want know the will of God is by allowing God to transform your mind, by submitting your mind to what he wants. There will obviously be times, right, that you will face a decision where the Bible will say one thing or God will say one thing, and your flesh or what the world might say will say another. For instance, we just took up a monetary offering. Now, the world would say, are you crazy to give? And give 10%. Goodness, that's a lot. The Bible would say, you actually get to have 90%. It's actually an honor. Because if we're New Testament Christians here, he actually owns the 100%. You should throw everything in your wallet in the offering, including yourself. If we're really going to keep it biblical, right? And that's why I'm tracking back to the first verse. It says, therefore, because he has all things, therefore. And again, this is a corny pastoral joke that you'll hear often. If you see the word therefore, you've got to know why it's. There you go. Ba-dum-ching. You know, that's the joke. Therefore, but it's very true. You've got to understand why it's therefore. Now, everything preceding that, we've just read the verse that precedes verse 1. Knowing why it's therefore. Because he has all things. Now, I'd even take it a step further, and I encourage you to study the book of Romans. Tim Keller calls the book of Romans the Himalayas of Paul's writings. The Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, and this is his magnum opus. This is his main theological unwrapping, especially with regards to Christology, the study of Christ, and the gospel. You can go through it. Chapter 1. Talks about the place of grace and peace in our lives being the measure of the gospel that we should not be ashamed of. Chapter 3, but we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Chapter 5 would say, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then 6 would say, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And we find that if it is the Himalayas, then the Mount Everest would be chapter 8. Despite the wrestling of the flesh and the spirit and failings and getting up. Chapter 8 starts with, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and ends by saying that there's nothing that can separate us from his love.
Good.
Chapter 9 to 11 just talks about this life found in his grace and ends with that whole thing. All glory belongs to him. Therefore, because of everything that he has done, therefore, I urge you. Paul does not say, I'm forcing you. He says, I urge you.
Right.
And when Paul says that, we need to prick our ears up. I urge you, in view of God's mercy. How many of you have viewed God's mercy? Have seen him take whatever wretched life we've had in the past and totally flip it to one where we have walked out of darkness into marvelous light and seen our purpose unravel? In view of God's mercy, Lamentation says that we are That his mercies are new every morning. Mm-hmm. The mere fact that we're sitting here, take a real bold step right now. Turn to your neighbor and just breathe on it. Slave to the spirit, that's okay. That breath that you so well expelled out of your mouth was given to you by the mercy of God. The clothes that you have on your back are by the mercy of God. The fact that we get to worship here in this beautiful university is by the mercy of God.
Right.
The relationships, the friendships you have today by the mercy of God. In view of God's mercy, he's urging us to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable before God, for this is our spiritual worship. Some of you on your versions may have reasonable worship. Actually, both are correct in the Greek, because it makes logical sense to worship Jesus after all he's done for us. This is the only place in the Bible where you find an implicit definition of what worship is. This is worship. Offering yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable before God, for this is your spiritual worship. That's the only place in the Bible where you find that definition. Again, there's no acoustic guitars. There's no songs being sung. It's being a living sacrifice. Alive biologically, but dead to your own agenda theologically.
Good.
Because it's God's agenda which supersedes ours now. It's the only logical response. It's the only reasonable response. After all that he's done for us,
after viewing God's mercy in your own life, the only logical response is to worship.
That's excellent.
So worship is glorification. It's attributing glorification to whatever it may be. It's also attributing, it's also sacrificing. What takes the ultimate place of sacrifice in your life? Now let's go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 22, we find the first mention of the word worship. Now I won't go there too long, I just want to mention this, is that the first place where we find worship is actually found when Abraham takes Isaac to the base of the mountain, and he's talking to the man with the donkey, the servants, and he says to them, "You guys stay here with the donkeys. My son and I are going up the hill to worship." The next verse does not say, "And Isaac took the acoustic guitar." And Abraham said, "Where are the chord charts? We want to make sure we play in key as we worship him." Now, why did they? What were they going up the hill to do? Sacrifice. Again, the first mention. This is a theological or hermeneutical rule that you'll learn. It's the law of first mention. Yeah. Whenever something's mentioned in the Bible at the beginning, it'll have that thematically all the way through Scripture, and you'll find it. Anytime the word worship is mentioned, particularly the Old Testament, it's always linked with sacrifice. The last definition of worship is, and from the Old English, it's worship, attributing worth. What takes the ultimate place of worth in your life? Mm-hmm. So it's glorification, it's ultimate sacrifice, it's worship.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. And it's interesting, you know, like you go into churches and you'll see guys and you'll talk to them about church. How was the service today?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, did you listen? How was the message? How was, you know, were you encouraging us?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's good.
You know, men, right, ladies? One word answers. Oh, but you know what? Get that same man around the Brisbane Broncos game. Oh my gosh. He's down there at Suncorp painting his body in maroon colors with a unicorn on his belly. And he's out there hoping to be televised. And he's lifting his hands.
Yes.
And he's shouting. And he's, you know, if it's soccer, he starts singing, "Ole, ole, ole, ole." Oh, I don't know what rugby league guys sing that is. They just yell out obscene noises. All for the whole objective of these big brood men, this big brood of men just running across a painted line with, you know, animal skin inflated. Get that same man in here who says he's a Christian, who says he's willing to sacrifice both money and dignity to go to a Suncorp stadium. And it's amazing, like, you get guys flying from New Zealand over here for state of origin. I'm just saying. That's sacrifice, right?
Yeah.
Same guy in church. Oh, you're an Australian hooker. Oh, but get him to the rugby league came. Oh, my gosh. He's booked it in months in advance, you know. Forgot his wife's anniversary, but months in advance to get here. Sacrifice, glorification, because these are the songs of praise that he's going to sing. And he sacrifices his dignity, being painted in these maroon colors, even though we're awesome and 8 in a row. But what takes the ultimate place of sacrifice? I'm just saying, you know. And ladies don't think, oh yeah, that's right, it's all the men. Well, younger ladies, I've got two words for you. One Direction. And older ladies, I know he was here, Brian McMack. So don't think that, you know, out there watching a concert with your phone. Sing it. One, make a drink of gin. Sing it, Brian, praise the Lord. Is he saved? Wondering, praying that One Direction is not just the name of the band, but that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. For all five of them. Sacrifice. Glory. Worship. That could be your career.
Right.
You know, I come from Singapore where people are defined by their or the careers. I mean, you know, you go into social gatherings, and immediately they are looking upon social gatherings as opportunities to try and grow their careers. They're looking in the room, okay, who can I talk to that would help me advance my career? Who can I network with so that I can get the best out of the room? And so they go up and meet people. Hi, I'm Nelly. I'm the executive director of XXX Community, .com or whatever. And, oh, wow. And you become defined by your job. Mm-hmm. Or you're defined by, you know, your family. And Tim Keller, again, I know I'm quoting Tim Keller a fair bit today. He says the reason why it's called a living sacrifice is because it keeps wriggling off the altar.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell, and he goes on to say this, you can tell what whether a person is battling with idolatry by asking them this simple question. If this thing was extracted from their lives, would they lose all sense of purpose for living?
Good.
And that goes to family too. I know we've got, you know, Filipinos and Islanders here. I mean, these are both my people. But we both love family. And it's amazing how, if you know, let me give you a statistic from University of Queensland. Studies show that 100% of people will die. So your parents, your loved ones, each one of us are going to die at some stage. But it's amazing how once these people are taken from our lives, how we'll lose all sense of. We go through this vertigo. Now, I'm not saying don't mourn and don't grieve. I've lost people close to me. Like I said, I lost my father, who was the greatest example of fatherhood in my life. And, you know, of course there was a time of mourning and grieving, and there still is in memory of who he is. And in fact, a lot of what I do as a minister is standing on the shoulders of what he laid as a foundation for me. But that doesn't mean that I idolize him or he is what I try to define my life.
Right.
With, you know, like, I don't expect from my father, a fallible man, to be Jesus,
right,
to be what Jesus is, because Jesus is the only perfect God. And so to expect from him to be God for me, I'm setting myself and himself up for failure. So when these things are removed, it's amazing how people lose their sense of centrality and what the whole purpose behind life is. Now, I'm going to take this just a little step further. Are we all clear on what worship is?
Good.
Now?
Yes.
Now, I'm going to take this to the role of the worship leader. Tina and I, as we've been, you know, just pouring through the scriptures over the last 7 years of our marriage, we came up with this phrase that is kind of like the tagline for everything that we do, not just in ministry, but anywhere. And this is the tagline. You can write this down. Creating environments where people encounter the presence of God. This is basically the job description of a worship leader.
Mm-hmm.
To create environments where people encounter the presence of God.
Very good.
Now, not all of us in this room may be musical, but we all have skills. We all have something that God has given us. We all have resources. We all have time, we all have giftings, and we all have resources that God's given us. For us as worship leaders who are musicians, these things, these instruments, are merely tools. They're not the main objective. Jesus is the main objective.
Very good.
So the main objective in Tua and I and Helen and the rest of the team and Myrtle and Jay is it's not for us to point people towards ourselves and see the success of worship as even being measurable. You don't measure worship. You know, it's a, how was worship today? Oh, worship was good, or worship was not good. What are you actually saying when you say that?
Right. Good.
You know, worship is not quantifiable.
Good.
Worship is a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And so my, you know, the main objective is, you know, for Tua and Cicela and the team, is to sacrifice time to rehearse and then bring it here as they lead you to create an atmosphere where you can encounter the presence of God, not awesome musicianship necessarily. And so in that, we remove distractions, and we musically create this atmosphere where you can latch on to the phrases that we're singing, which are truths from Scripture, and declare them in this environment. Mm-hmm. And you encounter Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. But I want you to think about, okay, so that's the job of the worship leader, using music as the tool. Now, think about that with regards to your own life. If you're not a musician, what life stage are you with? Okay, let me ask you this question. If we tore down the four walls of this building and you looked out into the whole city of Brisbane, how would you lead them in worship? How would you create an atmosphere or create an environment where they would be able to encounter the presence of God? I'll bring it to your life. Some of you may enjoy going to Gloria Jean's or Starbucks. How many people like Gloria Jean's better than Starbucks? Okay, Starbucks. How many people like Starbucks? How many of you like KFC better than Starbucks? Yeah. Okay, let's say, for instance, like you haven't seen an old school friend for a while, and you've got to meet up with him at Starbucks or KFC. And you got to meet up with him. You book the time to meet up with him. Now, normally, you do what most of us would do. You catch up. Well, there's nothing wrong with catching up. But you're a worship leader now. So you need to think with regards to this appointment as to how I can create an environment where we can both experience the presence of God. How do you do that? You pray for that time that you're about to have with Him. You are very much aware of the Holy Spirit and how He would dictate the conversation. Okay, I want you to listen now. Okay, share this. Share the Scripture. That's why it's important to memorize Scripture. Oh, Jesus wept. That's why. Memorize more than that. You know, sometimes this is the sacrifice part as a worship leader. Okay, take your wallet out. Give him 100. He was Lord. You know, being very aware of the, and then being able to take the opportunity to pray with people rather than just catch up. You know, you go to any environment, like some of you are going to go into school or to work. You don't just go to school or work anymore. You think as a worship leader, how can I in this classroom or in my office create an environment where people can encounter the presence of God? Ask God for His heart for the people. Especially that boss that, you know, just is on your tail all the time. Ask God, God, give me a heart for my boss. Help me to have your heart, because my heart is corrupted with selfishness. I want a selfless heart. You know, see, again, I bring it back to Pastor Ken and Renee. Just coming to Auckland, New Zealand, and meeting people like myself and Norman Easter and Chelsea Raymond and so on, and you know, many of us in this room, they selflessly left their life and their lifestyle in the United States and came here to the South Pacific, to Australasia, and poured their lives out. This is worship leading. It's to lay their lives down so that others may experience and encounter the presence of God, being a living sacrifice. You with me today? You seeing this? Okay, here's where I'm ending. And this is the part I don't want to do because it requires physical exercise, of which I'm trying to rebuke in the name of Jesus. It's the food here, so. And this is where I'm going to end. The Greek word for the word worship is the word proskuneo. Everybody say proskuneo.
Proskuneo.
It literally means to kiss the earth in reverence. Kiss the earth in reverence. So I'm going to model it for you so it's etched in your brain for the rest of your life. This is what it looks like. It's not one of these deals on your knees. It's not even like this. It's like this. To kiss the earth with reverence. Now here's the thing, guys. There are three things that God does when you posture your heart like this, and this is where I'm going to end. The first thing that happens when you posture your heart, again, because the sacrifice is laid on an altar. The first one is you obviously lay down in worship and reverence before that which you are offering yourself as a living sacrifice for. So that's the first aspect, worship and reverence.
Good.
The second aspect of proskuneo, the lifestyle of proskuneo, is this. And I've been to many worship environments, unfortunately, and I'm talking about music now, where, let's say that this music stand represents Jesus, and they've stood in front of Jesus, and anything that they've done, including in ministry, has ended up pointing towards their self-glorification,
right,
or pointed towards them, and they've eclipsed the glory of God.
Right.
Thinking that God can somehow be fooled by the attitude of their heart.
Yeah.
But whatever a man sows, he will also reap. So they stand and they're, come on, yeah, check me out. And there's two ways that you can distract from the worship of God. There's, with regards to skill, let me just touch on skill. Number one is a lack of skill, and number two is you have skill, but the skill points towards you.
Right.
You know, check out my face mounting guitar solo, or you know, look at me, I'm singing notes so high that only dogs can hear them. and you're here.
Right.
Your position here. I love how Mark Driscoll was talking about. He went to visit a church one day. He was speaking in this church, and you guys know about what a special is. Like during a church service, maybe during the offering, somebody may come up and do a special item, which we call a special.
Right.
It's usually a song and sung while the ushers are taking up the offering. And in his exact words, he said, there's nothing special about the special.
Right.
And so this girl came up and she started singing the special, and you know, Pastor Mark was just distracted by her lack of skill. And he went out to the pastor and he said to the pastor, Pastor, it's a great service, but tell me a little bit more about that lady that sang the special. He said, oh, she has a great heart, doesn't she? And Pastor Mark, being Pastor Mark Driscoll, said, that's the problem, is that's not where the microphone goes. It goes here. And if you have heart, you will work on your skill. Because
right.
Even your practice is worship to God.
Very good.
In the secret place, where no one can see, and all they can see is Jesus. Because you're no longer eclipsing him. You're bowed down, you're prostrate before him.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the last one. Okay, I'm going to land the plane on this one. This is my favorite one. Actually, when you are proskuneo, when you are laid down, it's the perfect position for rest. See, because you're not up here going, oh, how come they get to lead the connect group, and how come they get to do this, and you're not comparing yourself with somebody else, you know, when's my promotion, God?
Right.
When am I going to get the church? How come Pastor Kim doesn't invite me to go eat with him? Why does he always invite me to eat with him? You know, just compare yourself. If your face is kissing the ground, you can't compare yourself to one another, right? You are bowed down in reverence.
Excellent.
Living sacrifice. Have you ever been to a cemetery and walked amongst the graves and heard, ouch, there's that here? When you are a sacrifice, there's no room for complaint, because dead people can't talk.
Right.
Dead people can't complain. They are rested.
Excellent.
Live life as a response to what he's already done. Our worship is now a thank you. We live our lives as a thank you. Not as a please, can I get in? Please, can I receive your love? He's paid it all.
Right.
Not at all. We just rest.
Just rest.
Proskuneo is the perfect position for rest. And I just want to pray for you this morning, because I think some of you may be in a position where you're not rested, or you're not, you know, you're in a place where, you know, even as we heard the prophecy this morning, just anxiety, the things trying to take over your mind, your heart. But it's in this atmosphere, it's in creating this environment where people encounter the presence of God that you lay your life down. It's no longer about your agenda anymore.
Good.
It's all about Him, and it's all about just enjoying being that sacrifice as the perfect response to all that He's done. I invite you to just close your eyes and bow your head this morning. Maybe you've wrestled yourself. Maybe some of you in this room may not have even approached the altar and laid your life down. Say, not my agenda, but yours. But some of you may have wrestled yourself off the altar. Today, just giving you this opportunity to respond, to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, and then to commit to creating these atmospheres, creating these environments where people, including ourselves, will encounter the presence of God. I'm going to pray for you, and if that's you this morning, actually at this point, if that's you this morning, you're saying, you know what, Pastor Nelly, I want to offer myself as a living sacrifice. It's no longer about my own agenda. It's all about what He has decided and what He desires to do in my life. That's you. I just want to invite you just to stand to your feet as a sign of surrender right where you are.
Thank you, Father.
Don't worry about the person next to you. This is an opportunity for you to just declare that He is Lord. And it's no longer about our own agenda, because our agenda is always fallible. Always leads to death. Let's trust in Him. Just stand on your feet. I'm just going to take 5 more seconds. I don't want to prolong this to the Lord. I'm praying right now just for my brothers and sisters that are taking that stand today to offer themselves as living sacrifices, declaring that it's no longer about them. Lord, as they've taken that stand, as they've taken the opportunity to stand today, declaring that You are Lord, we thank You, God, that all of our purposes become unraveled. We find our whole reason for being created in worship. And Lord, as we stand, we offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable before You. For this is our spiritual and reasonable worship. And as we've taken this stand, we declare also that we will not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. No longer about our own agenda, Lord God, but Lord, place Your agenda on our minds. We thank You that Your word promises us that we can have the mind of Christ. Thank You, Lord, that Your thoughts are higher than ours, Your ways are higher than ours. I pray right now, Lord, for just Your grace to go with us, to be able to withstand the temptation to wiggle off the altar. Give us the grace to continue to walk as living sacrifices. Thank You for Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow, come on, let's give Pastor Nelly a great hand. Very, very good. Excellent, Nelly. That was so good. So we can have great musicians and a great venue and still not really worship God. And then we can have no music and no venue and really worship God. It's really an attitude of the heart. It's about sacrifice, isn't it?
That was so rich, Pastor Nellie. I want to take a moment. I want you guys to look at your notes. This was so good. And I want you to review your notes and then take a moment, share with the person on either side of you something that really spoke to your heart. There were so many good nuggets. What was that word again? Proskuneo? Proskuneo. So that was so rich, those points. So take a moment, look at your notes, and then share with someone beside you something you got out of it. Go ahead and do that if you would, please.
This podcast has been brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. Thank you for listening. God bless.